So there was an article, and the BBC has basically said that the British public have voted against the fact that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Now, to me, that's highly controversial. Well, to me, actually, it's just nonsense, because it's unquestionably a Christmas movie, in my opinion. But that's a humble opinion. I don't know if you are into these dreadful Christmas movies that Colleen watches a lot of them on, what's it called, on Netflix. Every single one of them is exactly the same, and they're all obviously recorded inside. You know, they're all outside in a T-shirt, and we're walking through supposed snow, and there isn't even, you can't even see their breath, and there's some city guy who's been left behind, and some guy who's in a check shirt and jeans who runs his mum's hotel, you know, and suddenly she falls in love with him and they're happy ever after. And then the next plot is exactly the same. And then the next plot's exactly the same. And it's all a bit cringeworthy. But, you know, harmless fun, I suppose. I said to Colleen, actually, because we watched one a couple of weeks ago, and I said, it's okay, actually. I can cope with it if I sit with a frame of mind that I'm watching Amdram. You know, you go to watch a friend in a play in the Corn Exchange or something. I can get away with it then. There's another movie, though, that's unquestionably a Christmas movie, which came out. I'm not exactly sure when it came out, actually. But who here has seen Love Actually?
You mean the best Christmas film?
The best Christmas film ever. Yes. It is a fantastic Christmas film. So if you may be familiar with the film. Who is familiar with the film? Quite a few, yeah. Okay, so it's a film that was written by a guy called Richard Curtis, who was the director of Notting Hill and Bridget Jones's Diary, and it basically is it tracks a network of 10 love stories on the lead up to Christmas, and you watch how. So you've got a guy called Billy Mack, who's a former rock star who's trying to sort of revive his career and try and get to number one. And he says that he used to think that Christmas was about love, but now he spends it wrinkled and alone, you know. Or there's a guy who, his wife has recently died. He's trying to get over the grief of that and help his son, 11-year-old son, to navigate that grief. And also his 11-year-old son has fallen hopelessly in love with a girl at school and he's walking through that. There's a guy called Colin who thinks that English girls are stuck up and boring. And so he goes to America, to Wisconsin. Oh, yeah, Wisconsin, which is where I guess you're going in over Christmas, after Christmas, in the pursuit of passionate relations with some American women. there's a guy whose brother has an affair with his wife, and so he goes off to France and falls in love with a Portuguese cleaner. you've got two actors who are like the doubles for people for performing nude scenes in films, and so it tracks them, and you don't see much, but you know they're in these scenes and they begin to develop a bit of a friendship, you know, so they're naked together doing whatever they're doing, and it's really nice to meet someone who you can actually talk to. It's lovely. Shall we go for coffee? There's them, and then there's the Prime Minister, who's played by Hugh Grant, who falls in love with Natalie, his caterer. Her boyfriend had split up with her, saying, no one's going to fall in love with someone who's got thighs like tree trunks. You know, she's got this image stuff, and the Prime Minister falls in love with her, and it finishes with them having this big kiss in front of the school play. There's a couple called Peter and Juliet, who are a young married couple, recently married, but their best man was secretly in love with the bride. It's sort of an unachievable... Sorry, if you've not seen it, you should see it anyway. It's wonderful. I've seen it many times, and you know, and there's a couple from Wandsworth who she is the sister of Hugh Grant, the PM, and her husband is having an emotional affair with the girl at the office and buys her an expensive gift for Christmas. And there's a couple, two people who work together called Carl and Sarah, a love that was never due to get off the ground because she's got a bit of a codependent relationship with her brother who is living in a mental hospital. So it's a crazy film. And it really is lovely. And there's some things in it that, you know, are not necessarily that godly. But it's an interesting film that actually some things that we can learn from the film and from these characters, okay? Life is messy. People hurt, and people are searching for love. And people do the most outrageous things in the pursuit of love. Flying off to Wisconsin. I'm not sure it actually was love he was after, but anyway, he flew off to Wisconsin for it. Somebody knocking on every door of Wandsworth, you know, because he was wanting to find Natalie. There's people running through airport security, desperately trying to say the words that they want to say to the person they're in love with. There's someone who's willing to travel to Portugal to propose to to the cleaner in front of a restaurant full of people. People are turning up at other people's house in the middle of the night to knock on the door and tell them how much they love them. Symptoms in our culture of a desperate need for love and not finding it. Some things are an obsession with image. You just look at what people put out there on social media, what people look to be like, and how people rearrange their kitchen or make sure that photographs are in a particular way, or, you know, the hair's done in a certain way, and this is my life. It's so wonderful, isn't it? It's so wonderful. It's just so wonderful. I'm just so whole, you know. I'm so loved. Oh, I'm so loved up. Or an obsession with not being alone. The idolization of being paired off, being in a relationship. An obsession with sex. So we're going to look at a few little bits of scripture to have a little think about what causes that. What is the root of the problem here? And then we're going to read some scriptures that speak to us about God's love. So Jeremiah 2, verse 13. It is a really interesting passage, actually, a really interesting verse. And we've mentioned it before. God speaking through Jeremiah, he says, "For my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all." They've dug for themselves clay cisterns and that can hold no water at all, and they've abandoned me, the fountain of living water. What God is saying there is, I want to be your source. I want to be the one who fulfills you. I want you to be complete in me. There is nothing, there is no relationship, there is no person, there is nothing in this world, no fame, no amazing lifestyle, nothing is going to provide for you what you need and what you can only find in me. And God's annoyance, his anger with the people of Israel at the time was, you've been going off and finding your own sources of water. Imagine these muddy puddles and people sloshing around with them trying to, you know, dip a straw into a muddy puddle when there's a spring of living water ready to flow out whenever you need it. And this concept that people are not grounded in God's love, have not really understood his unconditional, absolute, complete, amazing love that he wants to lavish on us. And if we're not walking in that, if we're not living grounded in that sense of his worth, his love, his grace, his unconditional, unmerited favour poured out over our lives, then you end up with a wounded view of God. People walk in anxiety, a sense of fatherlessness. There may be things that have happened with somebody's own relationship with their father that has been a hindrance to where their father has misrepresented what fatherhood is, and that can lead to a hindrance in people walking in the fullness of relationship with God and really understanding how much they are loved by God. And God wants to break through those barriers. People living with aloneness, feeling less than, or feeling like you're a disappointment, it can lead to depression, frustration, rebelliousness, an inability to build healthy relationships, addictions of various types, gender confusion, a lack of trust, performance orientation, always feeling like you need to say yes to everything and run around like a headless chicken to be okay, just to get your head above the, just to get, you know, to be acceptable. Fear of failure, constant restlessness and unsettledness. Because when we're looking for others to complete us, we will be disappointed. We'll end up broken, dysfunctional, hurting, and incomplete because other people can't provide, or our image, or our success, or our career, or any other thing cannot provide for us what only God wants to pour out over our lives. There's a great few verses a guy called Ed Purick calls the central event of Jesus' ministry or of Jesus' life. Matthew chapter 3 and verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. "I am the one who needs to be baptized by you," he said. "So why are you coming to me?" But Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." Now, Jesus hadn't turned water into wine. He hadn't healed the sick. He hadn't cast out demons. He hadn't done any of those things. He hadn't turned the tables over in the temple. He hadn't preached a word. He hadn't raised the dead. He hadn't gone to the cross. Just for being who he was in obedience and obviously coming to earth at Christmas time and growing up, without having performed, and I am loved by my Father, and I bring him great pleasure. And you know, for you and me, we can get busy and we can think that, well, God loves me because I'm a fruitful servant of his. God loves me because I'm effective in building his kingdom. God loves me because I've brought 15 people to Christ. God loves me because I'm on the setup team. God loves me because of anything else. Oh, God, you know, and none of those things are why God loves us. And for us to walk in this place of centeredness, this place of being grounded in God's love, we need to come to that point of really receiving a revelation that you are God's beloved son and God's beloved daughter, and he is thrilled with you. He's absolutely, completely over the moon, head over heels, in love with you. He thinks you are amazing as you are, having nothing that you do, who you are. He absolutely, completely, unconditionally, irreversibly loves you. And everything that we do can flow out of, and who we become, and the relationships that we develop, and the love relationships that we develop, all of those can be added to our already full love tank. Does that make sense? God wants to be our source of love. We can walk in God's affirmation. God loves me just for who I am. We can experience God's affection. We can know God's attention. To know that I am seen by him and I'm understood by him. There may be no other human on earth who can fathom you out. Probably the same with me. We're all weird in our own little way. There might be no other human on earth who knows what's going on in your mind, who knows what you deal with at home, who knows any of your situation, but God knows all of it. And he has, you have his attention. You are seen, you are known, you are understood by him. And we can experience his advocacy, knowing that you have been bought with a price, and through the cross, knowing that you are worth defending. I'm going to just read a few scriptures. And then Daniela's going to come and sing a song that we can worship and join in with. We're going to sing that through once, and then I'm going to come and read something else to us before we then go back into worship. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, where I will never be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for our God is our refuge. Let all that I am praise the Lord. This is Psalm 103. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows that we are weak. He remembers that we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, that like wildflowers that bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, though we'd never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created. Let everything in all his kingdom, and let all that I am praise the Lord. Two more. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And that is the plan, that at the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose in advance, he chose us in advance, and makes everything work out according to his plan. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. Abba is a very intimate word for symbolizing closeness. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are his heirs, the heirs of God's glory. But if we're to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Jesus, we just thank you that you came to represent the Father. You came to show us what God is like. And I pray, Lord, that tonight as we just worship you and as we pray together, as we listen to you, I ask, Lord, that for every one of us, we would receive a fresh revelation of how loved we are by you. I pray, Lord, if there are any barriers to us receiving that amazing love, that you would show us what those barriers are, that we might be able to get those things swept out of the way and we can step forward in you, walking in your love and being able to give it away wherever we go.